we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it, same number for both. And in fact, I got a caller on the line already. Kevin from Athens. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing great, Phil.
Good.
I really, really appreciate you. I'm a long-time listener from the time your show started.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate
it. Which wasn't that long ago. but I consider you a big hammer that hits every nail, and you sure have.
Well, brother, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Hey, and also, I want to know how you don't use a particular song that would be very appropriate for your show.
Okay, what's that?
Tom Petty's I Won't Back Down.
Oh, that would be a good one. I like some Tom Petty no matter what. But, yeah, in fact, now that song is now going to be stuck in my head all day, Kevin. Thank you very much.
Well, good.
Yeah, Kevin, that's perfect, man. I appreciate you. And, hey, thanks for listening. We appreciate you being in the audience.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye. Take care, Kevin. That's awesome. Yeah, man, I love Tom Petty anyway. We have some Tom Petty mixed into our bumps right now, don't we, Big Greg?
I think we got one or two Tom Petty songs.
We might need to find I Won't Back Down. That may be worth doing.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. A couple other text messages that are in there right now. Let's see. Yeah, what do we got? Scott from Athens says, maybe part of China rising is America falling. Why should it ever have to be possible for any foreigner or entity to buy American land? You know, the question is the purpose and the intent or you know, the meaning behind the purchase. I mean, if someone were to come along and tell you they want to pay you top dollar for your farmland, generally speaking, under the law, unless they're breaking the law, you should have a right to sell your land. But the question is, who's buying it and why? And so, yes, they're now looking at some legislative action to help, you know, kibosh on some of this. James from Harvest texted in and says, absolutely a brilliant, excellent AAA plus drop the bike, walk away monologue. Wow. That's pretty hard to beat. He said, you win today's show, Phil. You no need to even continue. You said it all. James from Harvest. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Jeff from Indiana texted in, says, Phil, gender dysphoria is the white privilege of mental disorders. It's the only mental disorder that allows the body disfigurement and laws and policies change to accommodate the afflicted person. He says schizophrenia and other mental disorders are being discriminated against because I don't see them making up losses for anything else. Maybe the ones promoting dysphoria may have mental problems themselves. Wow.
That was pretty good, actually.
That was actually really good.
He's always talking about schizophrenia.
Should we worry? I don't know. John from Huntsville says, Phil, fantastic monologue, and I was getting worried that you might have to rely on somebody else's grading system today because my phone service is messed up. Yeah, you must have AT&T, John. I couldn't even text answers to Dale Jackson's ridiculous question this morning, and I couldn't text anything to Yaffe, but hopefully your program will come through me through without me. Well, John, I'm reading your text, so apparently you're doing all right, so that's good. Yeah, I'm not so sure what the scoop was, but we're questioning whether or not what we experienced yesterday here in the studio might have been the beginnings of AT&T having its, you know, meltdown, whatever happened. JT Lacey Springs says, inspiring monologue. In addition to Friday Eve, I like Turbo Thursday. We're speeding towards the weekend. Oh.
Hey, I like that better.
You like that better than Friday Eve?
Because Sarah said that last night. She's like, oh, it's Friday Eve tomorrow. And I was like, oh, don't say that. I like this one. Turbo, was it Turbo Thursday?
Turbo Thursday.
I like that.
You're all in for Turbo Thursday? All right, we got to find a sound effect. So like a zwing kind of sound effect or something. Raven from Russellville says, I have not, do not, and will not play them snowflake games. Yeah. And then he says, Colonel Williams, I firmly believe that liberalism is a mental illness and should be treated as such. No such thing as many truths. There's only the truth, one truth. That's right, brother. Appreciate you. Absolutely, Raven. All right, listen, we got plenty on tap. We're going to come right back. And listen, strap it on because we're going to spend some time talking about China. If you guys are having a water cooler conversation with anybody and China comes up, my goal is for the next 30 to 45 minutes that you guys are going to walk away from this feeling like you just got some ammunition for the discussion, if you know what I'm saying. Like, That's what this show exists for. Every day I say, if we come on the air and do what I call the four E's, then we're hitting the mark. That's, we're going to educate, enlighten, and empower and entertain you on what it means to be a conservative walking around in today's crazy world. So yeah, coming up next, we're going to spend a little time breaking down China. What are the things that are happening? What are the concerns? Why are they doing those things? Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so I got a stack of papers in my hands. So, China. All right, we're hearing a lot right now on the world stage. Like I'm looking up right now on the screens here on the studio wall, the left side screen with CNN is all about Israel right now. Earlier on the right side screen, there was an interview with Zelensky in Ukraine. All that to say, the hot topics right now, and granted, I'm not faulting this, but the hot topics right now are the actual hot zones, the wars going on in Ukraine and Israel, the missiles being fired at ships, you know, in the Red Sea and near the Suez Canal and by the Houthis, and then looking at, you know, where are the actual true flashpoints, and yet all the while, in my opinion, looming in the background, the elephant in the room is China. China is still going to be our largest near-peer adversary on the world stage. They are. Our interests are oftentimes not aligned. Sometimes they're flat-out adverse. China does not have our best interests at heart. So let's just go ahead and be clear. China is not an ally. There are times when there is mutual assent to something because it benefits both sides, but generally speaking, we are not there for each other, if you know what I mean. And yet, more and more, China is beginning to have an aggressive pattern of behavior on the world stage that many people see as an actual and overt attempt to gain a measure of world dominance they've never had before. And none of that's good for us. None of it. The totalitarian government of China is absolutely not something that we want to see gaining more and more foothold across the world. We don't want to see them co-opting smaller governments. We don't want to see them claiming ground that was not theirs before. We don't want to see them doing things like disrupting the world economy by deciding it's finally time for them to go and take back Taiwan, which I'll talk about more in a minute. China is hanging out in the background. And just at every given turn, there is something going on, and you look at it and go, oh, they're playing the long game. And they are. China very often attempts to play chess. Now, they don't always work it out, but they very often attempt to play chess, and they make maneuvers, and then they kind of wait to see if you're going to even do anything. One of the biggest maneuvers on the world stage with China right now is what is often referred to as China's massive Belt and Road Initiative. The Belt and Road Initiative. What is that? All right, so it's an actual plan, and its designation is basically it's to try and build an infrastructure-based link among East Asian and European countries. It's China attempting to connect the dots across a hemispherical area so that they can then have massive trade and they can upswing the ability of the Chinese yuan on the world market and downsize the impact of the American dollar. None of this is good for our economy. None of it. Right now, China is, granted, on the world stage, it's certainly a partner. How many things have you picked up off in the store and it says made in China on the bottom of it? But the reality is this. China has a difficult time with its exports to other parts of the country or the world, and they are doing what they can right now through the Belt and Road Initiative to correct that. I don't fault a country for wanting to better its position. The question is, are they doing it to try and lower our position? And that is true. They are. So a piece here I pulled off describing the China's massive Belt and Road Initiative. It says it's sometimes referred to as the New Silk Road. It's one of the most ambitious infrastructure projects ever conceived, launched in 2013 by President Xi Jinping. It's a vast collection of development and investment initiatives originally devised to link up East Asia and Europe through physical infrastructure. All right. Some analysts are saying they see it as a really, like, I'll be honest with you, unsettling extension of China's attempt at rising power. No kidding. So, like, as the costs of some of their projects are skyrocketing, that the things that they're trying to do are skyrocketing in cost, and opposition is growing up in other countries, China is going as slower than they wanted to. But in the meantime, the United States, we're looking at the Belt and Road Initiative as like a Trojan horse. Hey, small government of third world country, we're big China. We'll be glad to loan you the money for that series of hospitals you wanted to build. Yeah. And listen, we'll be glad to build a highway right through the middle of your little country. That'll be great. Yeah. And then we're going to connect it, by the way, to the highway that we're paying for in the neighboring country. And oh, by the way, eventually it's going to connect to Beijing. I just gave you an overly simplistic look at it, but that's what they're doing. It's infrastructure. It's economics. And it's more than just like, you know, foreign aid. They're also making these nations beholden to them. So whereas the United States very often, now we do grants and we do some loans, but a lot of times the United States sees an opportunity to assist other countries and we give them foreign aid. Say what you want about it. I have problems with some of it, but nonetheless, that's what we do. China, on the other hand, is getting people in and pretty much they're like the loan shark. Yeah, we can help you. That new series of hospitals you wanted in the remote regions of your, you know, jungle territory. Huh. How about this? We'll loan you the money interest-free for the first 2 years, after which it goes up exponentially thereafter. But you'll be able to, we'll work with you. Don't worry. Next thing you know, they've got that government over a barrel. And they come in and they say things, you know, like, hey, yeah, we're going to need to go ahead and expand our capabilities in your country. Well, we can't pay the bill right now. You can't pay the bill, huh? Darn your luck. We're going to have to come in now and make your life more difficult. And I guess let's take some of your resources. That's what we'll do. We'll take some of your resources as payment. So Central Asia used to be the epicenter of all this, right? Central Asia was the epicenter for all this globalization that China was working on, trying to spur their own immense wealth and intermixing their culture and other religious traditions with other parts of the world. But President Xi announced the initiative in 2013 of the New Silk Road, they're calling it. The old Silk Road used to be the major trade routes from China to other countries. But it was like wiped out during the age of the Crusades and the invasions of the Mongols and all that. All I'm saying is this. Xi is envisioning putting together railways, energy pipelines, highways, streamlined border crossings. He wants basically an EU, like a European Union style effect. But they're not there to be your big benefactor. They are there to get their claws in. And if you can't make the payments, they'll own you, small country. And they're trying to make it all the way southward to Pakistan, India, the rest of Southeast Asia. They're trying to expand the use of Chinese currency. They're trying to build physical infrastructure. They're funding hundreds of special economic zones, they call them, where they'll, you know, incentivize people to go build a factory there. And, oh, don't you love us now? Yeah, we're China. Oh, we're going to take over that company because you didn't make your payments. They're setting up their so-called 5G communications networks. That's great. What happens when China wants something and you can't make the payment? They shut down the system because they own it. So then there's, you know, what China's trying to achieve by this. In total, China's already spent an estimated $1 trillion on their Belt and Road Initiative. Y'all, they are literally spending money like water, and they don't have it. There is some reason to believe on the intel world and the foreign policy stage that China is really struggling in its economic capacity, but they're still spending big time because they believe they're buying influence. So yeah, they spent $1 trillion. Experts believe that the overall Belt and Road Initiative is an $8 trillion spend when China gets through with it. But the Belt and Road Initiative, though, is stoking some huge opposition. There are some countries that took on large amounts of debt through China to fund their infrastructure projects. And they're now being seen as like what they're calling basically a poison cup. You want to drink from our cup? Sure. We'll help you out until we call the loan at new market rates and make it more difficult. So this is not just expansion of influence. This is not just developing diplomatic relations. This is not just being a good neighbor or a good ally. This is called basically loan sharking your way into international influence. The Belt and Road Initiative looks neat on the outside. It looks shiny. It looks like world development. No, it's not. They're going to get those countries in their hook, line, and sinker. So the U.S. and other countries, we have our concerns, right? Obama, his policy was pivot to Asia, spent billions of dollars, flex diplomatic muscle, they say, to build infrastructure and foster cooperations in low-income countries. Donald Trump, he also had the Build Act, which was designed to sort of counter some of the Belt and Road Initiative. Even the Biden administration is trying to sort of stay in the loop, if you will. And yet China continues to dig its claws in. And that's why the Belt and Road is so nefarious. This is not goodwill on the part of the big country to the little countries. It's not. If you're talking to somebody and say, well, I don't know. I mean, China hadn't done anything. They hadn't shot at us yet or something. China is doing all it can to basically usurp every opportunity on the world stage from having any Western influence. They want to be the dominant force. And if they have to take it by force, they will. If they have to do it like a loan shark with, usurious rates, they will. All right, we're going to take a break right now. When I get back from this, though, get this. China is not just extending its territorial waters from its own boundaries. It's building new boundaries. It's crazy. Y'all stay tuned. China Rising. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so I got a stack of papers in my hands. So, China. All right, we're hearing a lot right now on the world stage. Like I'm looking up right now on the screens here on the studio wall, the left side screen with CNN is all about Israel right now. Earlier on the right side screen, there was an interview with Zelensky in Ukraine. All that to say, the hot topics right now, and granted, I'm not faulting this, but the hot topics right now are the actual hot zones, the wars going on in Ukraine and Israel, the missiles being fired at ships, in the Red Sea and near the Suez Canal and by the Houthis, and then looking at, where are the actual true flashpoints? And yet all the while, in my opinion, looming in the background, the elephant in the room is China. China is still going to be our largest near-peer adversary on the world stage. They are. Our interests are oftentimes not aligned. Sometimes they're flat out adverse. China does not have our best interests at heart. So let's just go ahead and be clear. China is not an ally. There are times when there is mutual assent to something because it benefits both sides. But generally speaking, we are not there for each other, if you know what I mean. And yet more and more, China is beginning to have an aggressive pattern of behavior on the world stage that many people see as an actual and overt attempt to gain a measure of world dominance they've never had before. And none of that's good for us. None of it. The totalitarian government of China is absolutely not something that we want to see gaining more and more foothold across the world. We don't want to see them co-opting smaller governments. We don't want to see them claiming ground that was not theirs before. We don't want to see them doing things like disrupting the world economy by deciding it's finally time for them to go and take back Taiwan, which I'll talk about more in a minute. China is hanging out in the background and just at every given turn, there is something going on, and you look at it and go, oh, they're playing the long game. And they are. China very often attempts to play chess. Now, they don't always work it out, but they very often attempt to play chess. And they make maneuvers, and then they kind of wait to see if you're going to even do anything. One of the biggest maneuvers on the world stage with China right now is what is often referred to as China's massive Belt and Road Initiative. The Belt and Road Initiative. What is that? All right, so it's an actual plan, and its designation is basically it's to try and build an infrastructure-based link among East Asian and European countries. It's China attempting to connect the dots across a hemispherical area so that they can then have massive trade and they can upswing the ability of the Chinese yuan on the world market and downsize the impact of the American dollar. None of this is good for our economy. None of it. Right now, China is, granted, on the world stage, it's certainly a partner. How many things have you picked up off in the store and it says made in China on the bottom of it? But the reality is this. China has a difficult time with its exports to other parts of the country or the world, and they are doing what they can right now through the Belt and Road Initiative to correct that. I don't fault a country for wanting to better its position. The question is, are they doing it to try and lower our position? And that is true. They are. So a piece here I pulled off describing the China's massive Belt and Road Initiative. It says it's sometimes referred to as the New Silk Road. It's one of the most ambitious infrastructure projects ever conceived, launched in 2013 by President Xi Jinping. It's a vast collection of development and investment initiatives originally devised to link up East Asia and Europe through physical infrastructure. All right. Some analysts are saying they see it as a really, like, I'll be honest with you, unsettling extension of China's attempt at rising power. No kidding. So, like, as the cost of some of their projects are skyrocketing, that the things that they're trying to do are skyrocketing in cost and opposition is growing up in other countries, China is going as slower than they wanted to. But in the meantime, the United States, we're looking at the Belt and Road Initiative as like a Trojan horse. Hey, small government of third world country, we're big China. We'll be glad to loan you the money for that series of hospitals you wanted to build. Yeah. And listen, we'll be glad to build a highway right through the middle of your little country. That'll be great. Yeah. And then we're going to connect it, by the way, to the highway that we're paying for in the neighboring country. And oh, by the way, eventually it's going to connect to Beijing. I just gave you an overly simplistic look at it, but that's what they're doing. It's infrastructure, it's economics, and it's more than just like, you know, foreign aid. They're also making these nations beholden to them. So whereas the United States very often, now we do grants and we do some loans, but a lot of times the United States sees an opportunity to assist other countries and we give them foreign aid. Say what you want about it. I have problems with some of it, but nonetheless, that's what we do. China, on the other hand, is getting people in, and pretty much they're like the loan shark. Yeah, we can help you. That new series of hospitals you wanted in the remote regions of your, you know, jungle territory. Huh. How about this? We'll loan you the money interest-free for the first 2 years, after which it goes up exponentially thereafter. But we'll work with you. Don't worry. Next thing you know, they've got that government over a barrel. And they come in and they say things, you know, like, hey, yeah, we're going to need to go ahead and expand our capabilities in your country. Well, we can't pay the bill right now. You can't pay the bill, huh? Darn your luck. We're going to have to come in now and make your life more difficult. And I guess let's take some of your resources. That's what we'll do. We'll take some of your resources as payment. So Central Asia used to be the epicenter of all this, right? Central Asia was the epicenter for all this globalization that China was working on, trying to spur their own immense wealth and intermixing their culture and other religious traditions with other parts of the world. But President Xi announced the initiative in 2013 of the New Silk Road, they're calling it. The old Silk Road used to be the major trade routes from China to other countries, but it was like wiped out during the age of the Crusades and the invasions of the Mongols and all that. All I'm saying is this. Xi is envisioning putting together railways, energy pipelines, highways, streamlined border crossings. He wants basically an EU, like a European Union style effect. But they're not there to be your big benefactor. They are there to get their claws in, and if you can't make the payments, they'll own you, small country. And they're trying to make it all the way southward to Pakistan, India, the rest of Southeast Asia. They're trying to expand the use of Chinese currency. They're trying to build physical infrastructure. They're funding hundreds of special economic zones, they call them, where they'll, you know, incentivize people to go build a factory there. And, oh, don't you love us now? Yeah, we're China. Oh, we're going to take over that company because you didn't make your payments. They're setting up their so-called 5G communications networks. That's great. What happens when China wants something and you can't make the payment? They shut down the system because they own it. So then there's, you know, what China's trying to achieve by this. In total, China's already spent an estimated $1 trillion on their Belt and Road Initiative. Y'all, they are literally spending money like water, and they don't have it. There is some reason to believe on the intel world and the foreign policy stage that China is really struggling in its economic capacity, but they're still spending big time because they believe they're buying influence. So yeah, they spent $1 trillion. Experts believe that the overall Belt and Road Initiative is an $8 trillion spend when China gets through with it. But the Belt and Road Initiative, though, is stoking some huge opposition. There are some countries that took on large amounts of debt through China to fund their infrastructure projects. And they're now being seen as like what they're calling basically a poison cup. You want to drink from our cup? Sure. We'll help you out until we call the loan at new market rates and make it more difficult. So this is not just expansion of influence. This is not just developing diplomatic relations. This is not just being a good neighbor or a good ally. This is called basically loan sharking your way into international influence. The Belt and Road Initiative looks neat on the outside. It looks shiny. It looks like world development. No, it's not. They're going to get those countries in their hook, line, and sinker. So the U.S. and other countries, we have our concerns, right? Obama, he had his policy was pivot to Asia. Spent billions of dollars, flex diplomatic muscle, they say, to build infrastructure and foster cooperations in low-income countries. Donald Trump, he also had the Build Act, which was designed to sort of counter some of the Belt and Road Initiative. Even the Biden administration is trying to sort of stay in the loop, if you will. And yet China continues to dig its claws in. And that's why the Belt and Road is so nefarious. This is not goodwill on the part of the big country to the little countries. It's not. If you're talking to somebody and say, well, I don't know. I mean, China hadn't done anything. They hadn't shot at us yet or something. China is doing all it can to basically usurp every opportunity on the world stage from having any Western influence. They want to be the dominant force. And if they have to take it by force, they will. If they have to do it like a loan shark with, you know, usurious rates, they will. All right, we're going to take a break right now. When I get back from this, though, get this. China is not just extending its territorial waters from its own boundaries. It's building new boundaries. It's crazy. Y'all stay tuned. China Rising. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Tracy from Athens says, my lefty boss man loses his mild demeanor with my knowledge, Senator. Keep up the awesome work. Awesome. Well, I'm hopeful that I have a feeling you hang in there pretty good by yourself, but if we can add something to the fray, I'm glad of it. What you got, man?
I got a text from John from Huntsville.
Oh, he's kind of off topic, isn't he?
Yeah. He said, I have a very important question for Big Rig. Does he know how to play the banjo?
Which, John? Okay, that's not on topic at all, but do you know how to play the banjo?
I don't.
Okay.
It looks hard.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you. Joe from Athens says, speaking of China and the migration situation, there's one thing I'd really like to know. How do that many people just walk away from China? I thought they had closed borders. We're getting to that in a minute, Joe, but you're on to something right there. I mean, how is this happening? Yeah, we'll talk about the Chinese immigration issue here momentarily. And then let's see what we got here. Frank from I just lost my spot. Where'd he go? I just lost him. Frank from Huntsville. He says, with a meme, he sent a New York Times headline, yeah, growing number of Chinese migrants crossing the southern border. Yep, I'm getting to that momentarily. So let me just move on with my stuff here. Oh, by the way, Keith from Southside. I know that guy. Keith from Southside. He says, I spent some time in the country of Panama. Was amazed at the amount of Chinese-owned businesses there. From drugstores, grocery stores, to hotels, some of them were second and third generation business owners. Enjoy the show. Keep it up. Thank you, Keith. Appreciate you, man. And yeah, I distinctly remember when the U.S., I actually did some military duty down in Panama when we were turning over the canal, which is still, to me, one of the biggest mistakes we ever made, is ceding control of the canal, because the Panamanians, they couldn't do it. They immediately outsourced it to China.
That's where my mom's from.
From Panama? Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
I'm Panamanian. I didn't know.
Is you Panamanian?
I'm Panamanian, yes.
All right. We'll call you all American, but part Panamanian. okay. Let me jump in here. China is doing more than just its Belt and Road Initiative. I mean, the Belt and Road is an infrastructure thing. It's also a, it's an influence buyer. It's designed to create this creeping influence of, loan shark type activity around the world with China's stamp on it, and then try to bring it all into a connectivity. So it's like they've built roads, the roads then connect, the borders then connect, the rails then connect. I get it, but the way they're going about it is absolutely kind of heinous. But then there's other things they're doing. How about this? All, China, of course, has a huge amount of shoreline. On the international stage, you have your territorial waters, and I've forgotten how far out they go, but I want to say 50 miles. I could be wrong. But anyway, territorial waters of a country make that part of the sovereign, I don't want to say turf because it's not turf, it's water. But some of the sovereign, of area of that particular nation. And it's based upon where your last landmass is. So if your landmass is here, then count out the next number of miles, your territorial waters go to there. Unless you have barrier islands, then you move it out from those islands. So China has taken to building islands. Building islands, yes. I'm talking about doing deep sea dredges and piling sand until they actually build islands and then claiming that that expands their territorial waters. You got a number for me? Did you look it up? Okay. Story here on the AP, this came in August of last year. Not only are they building these islands, by the way, they're militarizing them. It's almost like they're building permanent aircraft carriers. But they're also using them as a claim that land is now establishing new boundaries in the territorial waters. Beijing, China appears to be constructing an airstrip on a disputed South China Sea island that is also claimed by Vietnam and Taiwan. And it also goes on to mirror construction that we're seeing on seven other human-made islands in the Spratly groups to the east, which have been equipped with airstrips, docks, and military systems. China claims virtually the entire South China Sea now as its own, denying the claims of others and defying international rulings invalidating that assertion. Goes on to say the U.S. takes no stance on the sovereignty claims, but regularly does send Navy ships on what it calls freedom of navigation operations near the Chinese-held islands. And so what we're seeing here is China's not just willing to scarf up influence, loan cheap money with high rates to smaller nations, build its influence network where it can. It's actually going out there and literally claiming new territorial waters on the basis that since it built a new island, and then, oh, by the way, armed that island, turned it into an airstrip. It's like I said, it's like an island, it's like a land-based aircraft carrier now out in the middle of the sea. All right, then there's Taiwan. We're not going to have time to really dig this, but we're going to finish this after the break. But Taiwan is a world flashpoint. Taiwan is a world, right now, if you were to look at the semiconductors that we use in almost everything electronic these days, the preponderance of them come from Taiwan. Why we let that happen, I have no idea. All I know is this. The world economy is going to take a major hit if suddenly semiconductors from Taiwan are no longer able to be shipped out, or at the very least, they're not as accessible. This is so. Does it impact it? It's just China, Taiwan. We don't need to get involved in that, y'all. We're tied to this. This is a big, hairy, freaking deal. We don't get a whole lot of economic impact out of Ukraine, but we do out of Taiwan. Yes, we do. And it's going to change. As soon as this happens, if China was able to so-called reclaim Taiwan, then what it's going to mean is suddenly their territorial boundaries are going to be considered extended. They will have control of the world market on semiconductors. They will then have also the ability to basically stage a military presence at a much greater range than they do right now. We don't need this. And I'm going to break it down for you a little more when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two, still on Dipper number one. Let me get a few text messages and just see if I can catch up with a couple things. Ken from Rimlap says, China most likely the kings of the East in the Bible. I've wondered about that. You know, there is the if you're looking at Revelation end times, there's even discussion about, you know, blazing their way towards Israel. And then you look at this Belt and Road Initiative and you go, Bud from Hartsville is brand new in the text line. Bud, I appreciate the text. That's not something that I can discuss on the air, obviously, nor can I really just, you know, do that. He's asking for some legal input. But Bud, listen, you're... You certainly need to have somebody help with that. Mike from Harvest says, and Mike from Harvest is trying to call in. Yeah, so Mike, we've had some phone issues. I think we usually take our calls, but if you missed it in the last couple of days, it's because AT&T, which laid our fiber, was having its own issues, and I think that was where we had our gaffes. Back on number one of the Triple Dipper, China rising. Let's talk about Taiwan. Taiwan is absolutely a world flashpoint. It may be the biggest flashpoint, partly because it's so nebulous. There's a whole lot of, nondescript foreign, you know, diplomatic speak mixed in with the idea of where do we stand on the issue of China and Taiwan. And you may be wondering, what is the deal? Why does China believe it owns Taiwan? Well, so here's the deal. Earlier in the last century, one China. Taiwan, very large island. It was considered a part of the Chinese government's territory. Then came the Japanese, who invaded China. World War II happened. In the meantime, you were looking at two factions that had been growing in Chinese governance. You had the communists, and then you had the non-communists, essentially. One refers to themselves now as the CCP. That's going to wind up being the Chinese Communist Party. And the other is the ROC, the Republic of China. So immediately after World War II, 1945 or thereabouts, when the Republic of China was able to reclaim the Taiwan island from the Japanese as a part of all the transfers and the things in post-World War II, they were at odds with the communists. They were battling for who was going to be in charge where. The non-communists, the Republic of China, they basically vacated to the island and began to set up shop out there with the intent of coming back to take over the mainland. In the meantime, the Chinese Civil War broke out in 1955, something like that. In the end, there's never been a peace treaty. There's been a long-standing détente. And the Chinese Communist Party is the bigger of the two. It's the giant. It continued to grow on the mainland. And yet, at the same time, Taiwan is doing great as a democratic government running a Western-style economy. and mainland China wants Taiwan back. They want it back for a variety of reasons. They want it back because of pride. They want it back because of economics. They want it back because of military might. They want it back because it expands their territorial footprint. And they want it back because it fits the longer Belt and Road Initiative. So yes, there was a time when Taiwan was considered a part of China. They broke off as a part of the Civil War. The Civil War has truthfully never been officially over in the eyes of the Chinese, the Communist Chinese government. And they want Taiwan back. So there we are. There's why you are where you are right now. And the flashpoint exists because big China, mainland communist China, is still posturing, and maybe even more so than ever. Story here on CNN came out yesterday. Chinese Coast Guard has triggered a panic in Taiwan. That's only part of Beijing's plan. So a Taiwanese tourist boat, and it's real common. I mean, this has been happening for years. Tourists get out there, they go on a boat, and you know they have an opportunity to work their way around and to see things, and they were intercepted by a Chinese Coast Guard boat. They spent half an hour going through what was known as a forced inspection, and then you're looking at, you know, the fact that just a week before that, Taiwanese Coast Guard had to chase a Chinese fishing boat, which may or may not have been smuggling. And wound up having the boat capsize and two Chinese nationals, communist Chinese nationals, died. So the big China government took issue. What we're looking at right now is a series of tensions, any one of which could become a flashpoint. And by the way, you have to look at where big China is right now. On the world stage, do you think that big China looks at things the way they are under the Biden administration and thinks, you know what, if we just wait till Trump gets elected, it'll be easier for us? No. Why? I think what concerns me is that in this time that we're in right now, with a feeble and somewhat feckless leader at the helm here in America, and massive distractions going on with Ukraine and Israel and the Houthis in Iran, I think China is eyeing this as a possible time. I think we have to really be careful. I think we have to really be careful of where we go in the next 9 to 10 months. You keep your eyes on China. And then there's this. Holy crap. So Charlene just sent me a text a little while ago. Let me see if I can find those stats that she put up on the screen. So, yeah. Guess who the biggest batch of illegal immigrants is now across our southern border? Yup, China. Dramatic increase, according to Fox News. Story broke yesterday. A dramatic increase in Chinese illegal immigration is on track to break records at the southern border, with apprehensions from that communist country in one sector alone already eclipsing all of 2021. So just between Saturday and Monday, this past weekend, 452 Chinese nationals apprehended by the Border Patrol just in San Diego sector alone. And keep in mind, China knows where its people are. You don't just come and go at will. They asked one guy through an interpretive, you know, device where you can speak into it and it interprets for you. They asked one guy who was from China, "How'd you get here?" "I went to Turkey, and then he got a flight to Tijuana, and then he walked across." Don't think for a second that China doesn't know what's happening. And by the way, 450, you may go, 450? I mean, 450? All right. How about this? In 2023 alone, we went from 2,000 the year before to 24,314 Chinese nationals. Chinese nationals, according to Fox News, have quickly become the fastest growing demographic entering the country illegally. Some officials and Republican lawmakers have raised concerns that single adults entering from the geopolitical rival could pose a national security threat. I mean, a lot of them coming through are single adult males of military age. And we're staring down, you know, the issue of why would they be doing this? Why is China allowing massive influx of its people into our country? Oh, I don't know. What's going on with China buying up farmland while we're at it? Story out 2 weeks ago. Chinese ownership of U.S. farmland locations raises concerns. Story on UPI. Says foreign investment in the nation's farmland has raised concern among U.S. lawmakers, particularly after reports about Chinese companies buying land near military bases. Great. The story's been developing over the last couple of years. You've heard it before, but we're seeing it more and more right now. We had a Chinese company bought farmland, allegedly for an acorn milling facility near Air Force Base in Grand Forks, North Dakota. We had another piece of land in Michigan purchased in 2023 by a Chinese company right next to a National Guard training facility in Grayling. Officials for the Chinese company said the land's going to be used to build an EV battery plant. Awesome. How about this? A Department of Defense report issued December 31st says Chinese military companies doing U.S. business in the U.S. are raising major concerns. 46 military firms, plus their subsidiaries, are operating in the United States from China alone, disguised as civilian entities. Y'all, you just got to look at this and go, this is odd, and it's not necessarily good.
It seems hairy.
It's beyond hairy. Yeah, it's like it's got some major growth hair on it.
The fact that they want to be right next to the military installations,
oh, yeah. and then buying up farmland. Are they?
They're spying. Or they could be spying.
They could be spying, and then they also could be just creating, like one U.S. representative in the story I'm looking at right here, mm-hmm. says it's not just national security, it's also a threat to our food security, which is national security. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're buying up farmland, what's their point?
Yeah.
And then before I finish up, because I'm not going to get through all the stuff I've got, and then how about rare earth materials? You ever heard of that? Rare earth materials. So rare earth materials, there's these 17 different types of metals that are used to make the magnets and the other things that are used in electric vehicles, wind turbines, electronics, semiconductors, all that. Western countries are way behind the power curve. Guess who is the world's top processor of rare earth materials? China. Guess what we're being pushed to have more and more of? Electric vehicles, wind turbines, and oh, by the way, the world runs on electronics now. So here we are, way behind the power curve. It says that China currently accounts for nearly 90% of global refined output of rare earth materials, which we absolutely cannot do without in today's age, especially with Biden pushing us to electric vehicles like madness. And then, I mean, heck, as we finish up, why don't we just talk about the spy balloon while we're at it? The spy balloon.
What's that?
You don't remember the spy balloon a couple years? Was it last year? It was last year.
I think so.
A giant school bus-sized piece of electronic equipment floating under a massive balloon was spotted by civilians flying over Montana. It had already been flying over half the United States before it was spotted. However, we found out later on the Biden administration knew it was there. It was a large, slow-moving piece of surveillance equipment from China floating across the United States. The Biden administration let it get all the way to the East Coast. It flew over multiple military installations. It was actually using, according to the story from CNN, it was using our U.S. internet to provide the signal it needed to send information back to China. And oh, by the way, when they did, they found that it was also to some degree steerable. So it wasn't like they didn't know it was floating. It was a weather balloon. We didn't know where it went. We lost that thing. Glad you found our balloon, guys. No, they knew exactly where it was. It was sending signals. It was gathering intelligence. And it was just allowed by the Biden administration to float across the entire country.
Wow.
That's enough, man. Did I scare you? Anyway, the bottom line is we're going to take a break right now. And when we get back from this break, we'll take some text messages. And I believe I just saw Butters walk in. That's going to be good. You guys, when you're having a conversation about China, just know this. It's a big topic, but you are now more educated than the average U.S. citizen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. And Butters just walked in the studio. How you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I heard I could get a cup of coffee over here.
So. It's just free to Right Side Ruffians. Come on in the house.
I thought I'd come say hey, since I think we're doing something here in a few minutes.
Apparently we're doing Butters and Lee in a few minutes.
Is it Thursday already?
It is Thursday already, and you are live in studio, which is good because yesterday we had some haywireness in our systems.
AT&T can't keep me down here.
I just know. We're not. No. Anyway, good to see you, man.
It's good to see you.
All right, let me take a few text messages for the break. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, look how much disruption just one service provider had an impact on the United States. Can you imagine what it'd be like if they popped an EMP over the U.S.? I'm not sure if we'd survive since everything's accustomed to their communications and everybody's accustomed to their communications and anything else would knock it out. So you make a great point. There was a lot of question about that spy balloon as it flew over. I mean, literally with the apparatus there hanging underneath it that was the size of a school bus, could they have just floated something idly over that could have blasted an EMP and changed the lay of the land for the United States? It's something you have to look at and go, wow, that could be. Tracy from Athens says her husband is a subcontractor, and I won't say who, but it's for a major chicken farming company, and they are selling chicken farms to companies at an amazing rate and to China, who hide behind supposed U.S. companies. Tracy, I have no doubt. Which you know, you also look at it and go, why? What's the point in this? Is it for their benefit? Is it just because they're capitalists at heart? Is it because they are trying to subvert our ability to care for ourselves? I don't know. Laura from Arab says, O'Biden sold the U.S. out to China a long time ago. I think that's fair to say. And then Danny from Decatur says, if I remember correctly, Bill Clinton pushed Panama to turn the canal over. Bill Clinton pushed Panama to turn the canal over to Chinese to operate the canal. That may be true. The governor of Michigan, he says, is helping the Chinese to build an EV battery plant in the middle of the state. They're cutting down forests to clear the land for the plant. The people in the cities and towns in the area have been telling the governor they do not want the plant. And by the way, I think, Danny, I got to check, but I think that may have gone by the wayside because of so much public outcry. And then he says, where I used to work, there was a young woman that had a coexist bumper sticker I talked about during my monologue. And I wanted to tell her that the first letter would kill you, and the last letter, Jesus, the cross, died for you. Yep, I agree with you. John from Huntsville says, I'm ready for another awesome episode of Butters and Lee. So am I. I'm looking forward to it. And then we got one texter who did not tell us where they live or who they are. They just said, Florida is not a deep red state. If enough liberals move to Florida, we got a problem. Okay. That seems very off topic. Is that from yesterday?
I don't know where that's from.
Okay. Anyway, nonetheless, yeah, you got to tell us where you're from and what your name is so we can plug you into the thousands in our texting system here on Right Side Radio and be able to call you out by name and place. All right. Listen, we're going to be coming back here in a minute with Butters and Lee. You know, I always look forward to this. It's almost like I get a break in a sense because I got other people that think for a while. But I also love the fact that when they come on, they're usually spot on with something. And half the time I find myself thinking, I wish I had thought to say that. All right. Coming up next, Butters and Lee, you guys stay tuned. We will be right back.